From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters. When the COVID public health emergency ends tomorrow, labs across the U.S. will no longer be required to report COVID test results to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And hospitals and state health departments will also be reporting less comprehensive data. So, what does all of that mean for our country, in particular for Idaho and Idahoans? Well, joining us today to answer those questions is Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. Remember, if you have a question about public health, send it to us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
So, Dr. Pate, when this public health emergency is officially ended tomorrow, Thursday, May 11th, what does that mean? And also, does that mean the threat from COVID is done?
Right. So it does not mean that the threat from COVID is over. And it does not mean that there is not a lot of COVID still out there in different places. In fact, I've just heard about in the last week, two schools on opposite coasts of the United States, both having significant outbreaks. So it's still with us. But what the end of the public health emergency means is that the government's response is going to significantly change. So one of the things that we've talked about on this show before is that while Americans have had the benefit of free, no out-of-pocket expense for vaccines, COVID tests, and the therapies, that is going to end to some extent. So now, after the public health emergency ends, we go back to the commercialization of these vaccines, tests, and therapies. So they, for most people with an insurance plan, they'll be subject to deductibles, co-pays, and co-insurance if you're insured. But if you're not insured, then you're going to be paying cash for a lot of these things. One thing that I'm watching carefully is Paxlovid. Up to now, that has been provided at no cost to people. The government pays about $530 for a course of Paxlovid, and I have not heard the company indicate what they're going to charge for that course. But if you go based on what did they do for the markup of vaccines, we could expect the price for a course of Paxlovid to increase to more than $2,000.
Wow.
Now, again, I don't know what that price is going to be, so we're watching. If you have a insurance plan that is covered by the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, then you're still not going to have an out-of-pocket expense for vaccines. And that will be true also if you're on Medicaid, CHIP, and most other governmental plans. But I would note for those that are on Medicare out there, in order to get the vaccines at no out-of-pocket expense, you have to have Part B coverage. So if you only have Part A, then these will not be free to you. However, the tests and therapeutics are still subject to these co-pays and co-insurance and so forth. Another change will be that will be slower unfolding because some of these take effect right away with the end of the public health emergency. Some don't occur until just over 5 months from now, and some don't occur till the end of next year. But there will be some changes to the telehealth. When we entered the pandemic, the government made a number of waivers that relaxed the requirements for telehealth, and those are going to be going away over the course of the next year or so if Congress doesn't enact them permanently, and I doubt they will. But this includes things like there are certain platforms that you could use that ordinarily aren't allowed, particularly relating to some of the Apple products and all, that will no longer be allowed. There was also an accommodation made for people, particularly in areas where broadband service is lacking, and we certainly have that in Idaho, where you could do telehealth through audio only, and it didn't have to include video. That exception will be going away. There was also some loosening of the restrictions on prescribing controlled substances as to allow doctors to be able to do that to more patients so they aren't having to come in. That's going to go away. And then there were some restrictions that were relaxed on who could provide telehealth programs to allow more providers like certain therapists to be able to provide telehealth services instead of you coming to their facility or them coming to your home. And those are going to go away. That will be in that group of a little over 5 months from now. I think you've also had a guest on from the Department of Health and Welfare to talk about the dramatic changes to Medicaid.
Right.
So where during the pandemic, we had to keep people on Medicaid that were on it. Now the states will be going through the process of determining who no longer qualifies. So that's just a handful of many changes that are coming.
Okay. So Dr. Pate, with all of that said, I would hope that we have learned things over these last 3 years. And my big question for you is, do you believe that we have learned enough lessons so that we can be prepared for another pandemic?
I fear we haven't, Gemma. And certainly one thing we learn about studying history is that people don't learn from history. And in fact, I know this was a big part of the reason that Dr. Epperle and I wrote our book. And I've already heard from some people reading the book that there's things in there they've already forgotten occurred during this pandemic. And I fear that we have not learned many of those lessons. And even more concerning is we don't seem to be doing a lot to prepare for the next pandemic. So that's why we wrote the book. One of the things that we address in the book is supply chain issues. And Gemma, you know, you and I have talked about this many times on the show, particularly relating to drug shortages, but also there were times during the pandemic we had shortages of PPE. We'll remember back in March of 2020 when we saw those pictures in national media of nurses wearing garbage bags because they didn't have protective gowns. We have seen that some of the supplies we need for testing were in short supply. And so we make some recommendations about what we ought to do differently. I used to think that as a hospital CEO, that we could rely on the National Strategic Stockpile. And what we found out is there was almost nothing there. And so we have to do things differently, yet I don't see that anything's happening. We also have to keep in mind, we've had at least three pandemics start in China. And yet China is one of our main sources for many of the things that we would need during a pandemic. If the next pandemic were to cripple China, it could in turn cripple us. I also wrote a whole chapter on schools because it doesn't seem like we've learned much. In fact, one of those outbreaks that I just mentioned a little bit ago, that school put out that their response was going to be that they were going to sanitize the building. Here we are 3 years into this pandemic, and that those school leaders don't understand how this virus is transmitted. And while I'm all in favor of sanitizing, that's not going to stop an outbreak of COVID. And then I think the, you know, just a third example, although we give 117 recommendations in our book, a third example is we need a new strategy about how do we deal with a disease outbreak that involves a novel virus. And especially since we saw that our travel bans are not implemented very well. In fact, the first case that we know of in the United States had already arrived 2 days before President Trump implemented the travel ban. So we need a different approach. And Dr. Epperle and I give a proposed new approach in the book to how we're going to deal with this. We've got to do things differently.
Okay. So with all that said, I can't believe I'm going to ask this question. Do you think we're going to see another pandemic? And if so, how soon?
Well, I do think at least a lot of people on listening to this show are going to see another pandemic. Let me explain why. I mentioned earlier, we need to learn from history. Let's just review a little bit of history. The first SARS virus, 2002. The influenza pandemic, the last pandemic that we had, 2009. So using some advanced calculus, that was 7 years. Then MERS, remember MERS, that the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome virus, 2012. So that was just 3 years from influenza. Then this one, 2019. And so that, again, from MERS to this one, 7 years. So if you just think about that, I think you would say, you know, the odds of having another pandemic within the next decade are pretty high. And also the fact that we are having environmental changes, we're encroaching on space where animals are that we didn't typically interact with. The warming has caused certain diseases to move north that they typically were inhabitable to not favorable to the
uninhabitable.
There you go. Thank you.
And so, you're welcome.
You know, just look at 2014. We had outbreaks of chikungunya in Florida and Texas, which we had never seen that virus before. In 2016, we saw Zika in Florida. And even during this pandemic, we saw a international outbreak of monkeypox, and now we're seeing outbreaks of polio, measles, Marburg virus. We talked about a number of these over the course of the show. So I'll just give you that information, and then listeners can conclude for themselves if we're going to see another pandemic soon.
Okay, I have just about a minute and a half left with you. So if we do see another pandemic, I would assume, Dr. Pate, it's unlikely it will look the same as COVID.
Yeah, I think there will definitely, each one of the pandemics we've had in the past has had different nuances. And certainly we could have another pandemic. Coronaviruses have always been a high risk, influenza viruses, but there's many others. And I think that what we could see is a virus that has much higher mortality rate than what we saw with this virus, orders of magnitude higher. We could see the next pandemic could be a virus that doesn't seem to spare children as much as COVID did. So yes, we could see very different changes. We could see different changes in how it's transmitted. Monkeypox is a great example. We've known about the risk for monkeypox for a long time. What surprised us was this outbreak now was completely different transmission than we had seen before with outbreaks in Africa. So yes, it could be different. It could be transmitted different. It could have higher mortality. It could cause a disease that's very different. Instead of respiratory or vascular like we saw with this virus, it could be gastrointestinal, or it could be other kinds of forms. And although I've talked about viruses, it doesn't mean that it couldn't be something else like a bacteria or a fungus.
Well, as always, Dr. Pate, we so appreciate you coming in and talking with us about all of this. We've been talking with Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. Dr. Pate, thanks so much.
Thanks, Gemma.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I have never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast in its latest series, Taking Cover.